Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Taylor, joined by Josh Brown.
Hello, Scott.
And Rich Hudson.
Hello.
Gathering together as the COD trifecta, the three of us have been diving into the latest Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, and I just thought we'd break down every possible facet of it. There's obviously campaign, multiplayer, and zombies, alongside some stuff that we're going to get into in regards to the way the game's been developed. A lot of conversations going doing the rounds at the minute as to not necessarily cut content, but maybe a reduced production overall. So I'll just kind of cast that out. Josh, what's your overall impressions of this year's COD?
I'm mostly positive, but I do have a lot of reservations, which I'm going to get into, but I've been having fun. To be honest with you, boys, I'm going to have to rely on you both for campaign and zombies impressions, because I've just been absolutely hammering the multiplayer. And
what else are you going to do?
Yes, well, we'll get to that. I've been indulging in Call of Duty much more as of late, but I've initially it was like incredibly jarring, even though I played the alpha and I played the beta. I thought it took a lot of learning and relearning stuff that I discarded after moving to last year's Modern Warfare, which obviously was this big overhaul. So I've kind of had to reconnect with those classic COD mentalities and kind of re-embrace the Treyarch kind of faster paced, more arcadey style. But I'm having a lot of fun. And like, the more I play, the more I get used to the maps, the more I get used to the new systems, the more fun I am having. But I do have some reservations.
Okay, well, we'll go back and forth. Rich, what's your thoughts as a veteran COD man?
Honestly, I'm pleasantly surprised with this year's. I played the beta when it was open on PC, and I did not like it in the slightest. And that's probably more so down to the fact that it's multiplayer, which isn't really why I play COD, which sounds probably, I'm probably very much the minority here. But after picking it up, I have thoroughly enjoyed my time with it. Now, I'm the complete inverse of Josh. I need Josh to tell me about multiplayer, because since getting the game, I have put a whole 11 minutes into the multiplayer mode.
Did you get a kill?
I got 19 kills. That's like my KD's like 0.7, because I was getting my ass handed to me. But I've played through the campaign and finished it, and I've put like 18 hours into zombies. Nice. So that's where my money's been. And honestly, I have very, very much enjoyed my time with it.
Josh, did you call me out there?
It has been out one weekend and you've played 18 hours of zombies and the campaign. Outrageous.
I know. I don't know what I do with my life other than just shut myself in my room and ignore my girlfriend.
I mean, I think for like the thing that sort of struck me across the alpha and the beta is the fact that it's an older engine that they've used, but it's not the same one from last year. It's sort of Treyarch have brought an older engine in and tried to speed it up and try and bring it up to speed with last year's one. And for me, like I think last year's COD is like the best one. That's the most I've loved one since Modern Warfare 2. And I love the speed of it, the perfect combo of sort of you can mount your weapons on the corners. You can also do the slides and everything. Everything that they brought in, I thought it rounded the package out in a way that I didn't realize I was missing. And so like for me, I really like Black Ops, but it doesn't have the same expediency as last year's one. It doesn't have the same sense of flow. And it's the most minuscule thing to like try and pass out. You have to play them next to each other, which I did. I'm still playing Modern Warfare a lot. So when I went from one to the other, with Black Ops, I don't know, like, do you guys feel the same way? Do you have any preference between this year's and last year's in terms of like core feel of the way that the guns feel and everything?
Rich, go on.
As I said, that was my main criticism of the beta. I thought that you could tell that it was running on Black Ops 4's engine, or at least a derivative of it. Like, apparently, I remember reading somewhere that apparently they went for an engine that existed between Black Ops 3 and 4, because Blops 3 arguably is, for zombies at least, is probably the best one. Multiplayer and campaign, not so much. But engine-wise, it plays incredibly well on Black Ops 3, and Black Ops 4 felt awful. Like, as much as when I reviewed it, when did it come out, 2017, 2018?
Oh my god, 2018.
2018, World War II, yeah. Like, I reviewed it okay, and then I've like played more of it and gone, actually, I hate this.
Right.
And then I thought the Cold War beta felt like they'd taken the NAF engine of Black Ops 4 and they tried to pump in that Modern Warfare feel with the gunsmith and the much more elaborate and sort of big, louder animations for the weapon kick and the reloads and stuff. And it just felt really hollow.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the reasons why I disliked it so much. Coming into it on release, it does feel a lot better. Maybe it's because I'm more in my element playing zombies, but it still felt like that in the multiplayer, that it did feel a little bit better, but it has still not matched Modern Warfare, because I agree with you, Scott. This is the Modern Warfare was the first COD that I genuinely like, oh my God, this is incredible, since probably Black Ops 1.
Yeah, actually, yeah, Black Ops probably was the last time. I said Modern Warfare because it was so up there.
Those two games back to back were like the pinnacle of the series. So it's been hard to top it.
Yeah. Josh, what's your thoughts on the way it handles?
More or less the same as you two, to be honest. I went into the beta and the alpha like really disliking it after playing loads of Warzone and loads of Modern Warfare, like really not being on board. And like Rich said, they did make a lot of changes and they have got it to a standard where I'm having a lot of fun. I think it feels really tactile, really kinetic, like really much more fluid than it was. But the issue I have with it is I think it's a pretty good COD game, but it's not a good COD game in the shadow of Modern Warfare, because every single thing that I quite like about Cold War, like the gunsmith or like the heavier weight of the guns and the heavier sounds, like Rich said, they do feel like pale imitations of what we had last year in a lot of ways, like a step back, and it doesn't quite reach those same levels, which is a shame, because I think it's kind of like having this identity crisis. Like, it's not all in like classic Black Ops. It's not going back to the Treyarch style and sort of sticking with those gun sounds of that gun handling, but it's also not fully committing to the new Modern Warfare engine. So it's kind of in the middle. And at the moment, at least from the reception that I've seen on Reddit and stuff, it doesn't quite seem to be pleasing fans of either side, which is a shame, because it is kind of, to me, it feels like this half step, this half measure between what a full next-gen Black Ops should be. And I think the biggest sort of drawback I have for it is that, for me, even though this is the next-gen COD, Modern Warfare still feels more next-gen than it. It feels bigger in scale. It feels more fluid. For me, visually, I think Modern Warfare looks better, even though I think this has a better art style. In like, the two are different, but like I'm gonna sound like I'm really critical in this video, despite having fun, just because I do think it suffers by coming after something that for me was so polished in a lot of, mechanical terms.
Like the whole thing with Modern Warfare and all the conversations that went into this year's one, especially like, you know, we were like sort of middling to like sour or whatever on beta and the alpha. And then the overall conversation is, did we need this year's COD? And we talked about this in, you know, past podcasts and the news and stuff. And it's like, they've been trying to push for a games as a service model, but they're still doing annual releases, and games as a service cancels out the need for an annual release if your thing is still going strong, which obviously they've supported Modern Warfare. So now they're in this weird spot where Modern Warfare is still completely recommendable and still played by so many people, but they want you to, you know, fork out £70, whatever it's going to be, for the next, you know, unit sale of the next installment of COD, but you arguably don't actually need it. Yeah, Rich, what do you think of the way they've kind of tried to have their cake and sell it to you as well?
I agree. Like, I mean, yeah, as you said, we talked about the fact that we didn't think they needed to make a COD this year, because Modern Warfare is so good. They can just keep it running. And I mean, there is a lot about Cold War that screams Modern Warfare, down to just even just the main menu. It's literally just Modern Warfare's main menu, just in the Black Ops style. Not so much the HUD, but the, you know, the majority of the menus and, you know, the gunsmith and stuff like that, the leveling, the weapon rankings and stuff in zombies is like straight out of Warzone. So it's like, there's so much of Modern Warfare's DNA in there. It does feel like they could have just released a new campaign, a different like slant on the multiplayer, and then just added the zombies mode into Modern Warfare and just called it, I don't know, Call of Duty. Yeah, call it Black Ops Cold War, but it just be within this new Call of Duty wrapper.
Yeah.
Because like when you play Warzone off the, I'm assuming it's the same for you guys on PlayStation or Xbox. I'm assuming you're both on PlayStation for this. Whenever you launch Warzone out of the Black Ops Cold War menu, it will just put you into Warzone.
Yeah,
I literally can't play Warzone on my PC because I don't have it installed anymore. So if I try and boot Warzone, it's like, you need to install Warzone. That's another 70 gig, please. So which I'll probably get to once they actually add the Cold War stuff into Warzone. Mm-hmm. But it's like, yeah. It's the fact you've literally been shipped. You've still been shipped to three modes, and Warzone does sit in its own sort of way. And that's become the games of service thing. But mm-hmm. it doesn't mean that the rest of it is necessary, that we needed a new campaign, we needed a new multiplayer, we needed more zombies. Of course, mm-hmm. we needed more zombies, but like, they didn't necessarily need to like do a full game. They could have just kept Warzone and kept multiplayer going.
And they could have put some stuff into the, you know, the games as a service thing like it was last year. I think that would have made more consumer sense. It's just that obviously you've got a console turnaround. They want a new Call of Duty. They're not going to break their, you know, annual streak that they've had for however long it is, 13, 14 years, whatever it is. But we should talk about some specific modes. Let's talk about zombies, because I haven't played Call of Duty Zombies. I think both you guys have way more than me, especially Mr. Rich. Loving the zombies. This one is a good one.
Again, I am so surprised because Black Ops 4 drop the ball in so many regards for zombies. Obviously,
eventually it was just like they were always talking about modes that were coming or additions or whatever, and I just remember the general conversation around it just being so kind of half-baked.
Yeah, the direction the zombies went is they tried to include a new story for Black Ops 4, because they knew that, you know, we've done four games with one set of characters in one uniform, not one universe, but one storyline. And people are like, the barrier for entry is like so high for zombies. They're like, hey, we're going to start again and do something fresh. And they get kind of tripped up as it left the starting line. And then the first DLC map just complete. It was complete crap. It's one of the worst zombies maps that Treyarch have ever made. And it sort of got back on its feet when it went, okay, we're gonna ignore that storyline. I'm going to go back to the one that we were in. And we're going to finish that one off for the second time and kind of negate the first time we finished it in Black Ops 3. It's like, right, okay, cool. But then they've gone, right, forget about the Chaos story. I'm going back to Aether. It's set after the events of Black Ops 4. But everything just felt cheap. You could tell that obviously Black Ops 4 had a very turbulent development, as we all talked about on Codcasts past. and you could tell that from Zombies, the fact that every single map was a remake of an old map, just shoehorned into the story somehow to just, because they just had the maps lying around, might as well use them again. They kind of went, hey, we can play up on fan service, but it didn't work.
But it feels so, like this year what have they done this year that's like really turned it around?
So this year they've really, they've changed zombies again. Like Black Ops 3 was the last time zombies was as it was before. Like what you guys must have played in World of War, Black Ops 1 and Black Ops 2, the zombies, and technically Black Ops 3, zombies barely changed because it didn't need to. Black Ops 4 came along, and because of Blackout being shoehorned in, the entire engine got rehauled and zombies suffered because of it, because the whole mechanic, all the mechanics changed and it was awful. And then Cold War's come along and they've gone, right, okay, it's not gone back to Black Ops 3. It's kind of like a hybrid between Black Ops 3 and Black Ops 4. So me personally, like when you read it all on paper, it was like, I'm not sure about whether this is going to be any good. Mm. And when you first load into D-Machine, which is the one map the game launched with, and I'm happy for that because Black Ops 4 launched with 4, which does sound good, then you realize only two of them are any good. They've reinvented zombies basically. And I'm not saying that as like a PR, like, hey, we've reinvented it, make it sound cool. They've genuinely done something different, but it still feels like zombies. That it's a lot more grindy, which apparently the multiplayer is as well, from what I've heard from you guys already. It's a lot more grindy. It is harder. And if you're going in with just pure like World of War to Black Ops 3 mindset, you'll be so much in the dark. And to be honest, I don't mind that, because it is something new. It, like Black Ops 4 just felt like a misstep. This actually does feel like a step, not necessarily forwards, but in a new direction. And as said, I've put like 20 hours of it, just zombies over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Same one map over and over again. We get to round 36. We get an exfil. The chopper comes and picks us up, because yes, you can end zombies games now without just dying. It's really hard. They throw like so much at you to make sure you don't escape with your lives. You know, we do that, finish round 36, we do like an hour and a half, 2 hours of zombies, and we literally just go, should we go again? And we just do it again. So without going into too many like super specifics, zombies is fantastic. After the misstep in Black Ops 4, they have really pulled it back.
Because I have, like, Josh, I think you played more zombies in the past than me. Like, I know you haven't touched this one that much, but like as a mode, you're pretty psyched to check it out. You have been in the past. Like, I haven't played zombies since World at War.
Yeah, I mean, like,
God. Come on.
It's just not my thing. If it was vampires, I'd be into it. I don't care about zombies.
They put literally that map I mentioned earlier about the chaos storyline falling off. That map had vampires in it. It was There were vampires and werewolves in a big spooky house. You had Brian Blessed, Charles Dance, Helena Bonham Carter, and Kiefer Sutherland as your four playable characters, and they ballsed it up.
How? Everything you just said sounds absolutely
It sounds so
incredible.
Good, and the map is terrible. Anyway.
I've never properly got into it as much as Rich, obviously, who is the biggest super fan that I know. But I'm really looking forward to trying this one out just because of the reception that it's got. And, you know, like I said, over this past year and a half, I've just gotten back into COD to the point where I feel like I need to properly try it, like get a squad together, properly jump in and just see everything it has to offer. Like, I don't know what's changed, but for a long time, probably for the most of this generation, like COD to me just became like a disposable weekend, and that was fine, but I never felt like invested. Nothing resonated with me until Modern Warfare and now Cold War. Like, I'm feeling back into this fandom again. I'm feeling back into these modes, and I want to commit to the grind, even if that grind is incredible, in an uphill battle, let's put it that way, at least in the multiplayer. Like Rich said there, I feel like this is a common element sort of across the board, because when I was playing MP, like, everything's good, everything's fun, I'm having a nice time, but leveling up weapons, leveling up my character, unlocking stuff that should be essential is taking a long time, and I wonder whether that is a kind of, comes from the lack of content. I know you said, Rich, that one zombies map is, you know, probably perfect for you, because it means that is tweaked
to
perfection.
It's been refined, yeah.
Yeah, it's been refined, but in terms of the multiplayer maps anyway, I don't think that refinement is quite there yet, and a lot of them, I mean, I think I messaged Scott on the first day it came out, just gut punch reaction, saying I think these might be the worst COD maps I've ever played or something like that. I don't necessarily think that now, but a lot of them do not hit that Treyarch bar that I got from World at War to, I'd say, Black Ops 3, because they did fall off a bit of Black Ops 4.
They also like repeat a ton. Like, you feel like you've seen everything the game has to offer in just a couple of hours, which I didn't have with Modern Warfare. And one thing that comes from all of this is, you know, we sort of touched on the idea of the development woes beforehand, and I know that they had a whole thing where who were the original devs for this one?
So Sledgehammer and Raven, who were going to be doing it together, and then there was a spat between the two, and Activision swooped in, kicked Sledgehammer down to being purely support, kept Raven on the top, on the second billing, and then just put Treyarch at the top.
Right, so it's sort of got a little bit, like you said, like sort of like plastered together to get it over the finish line. And I think that makes me think that they've elongated the grind for the sake of trying to make you rerun stuff like for longer. Obviously, it's going to by de facto make you run things for longer, but to try and hide the idea that there's not as much here, because you're going to have to grind a less amount of stuff out. So that, like, you know, the amount of money, it's not like the price has gone down because it's less content. We're still going to be, you know, playing it week in, week out, month in, month out. And I think that maybe they've just elongated the grind in zombies, in multiplayer, to try and sort of get across that whole, well, you know, you got your money's worth. You still played it for months. You still played it with your friends. Even though there is like a pretty obvious elongation of the unlock process, especially when it comes to online multiplayer, like weapon-specific XP.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The most annoying thing to me about that isn't even necessarily that it takes a long time. Like, fair enough, maybe that's what you want to implement to keep people there. The issue is, at least in multiplayer, is that the things that I'm grinding for, I've already seen in either other Call of Duty games, or they're not that exciting. Like, you spend hours and hours to get the next round of perks, but the next round of perks are the exact same perks that we've had in Black Ops games of yore and stuff like that. And for a lot of people who are returning to this franchise are probably, like, absolutely buzzing for that. People who want this to be that direct sequel to Black Ops 1, to re-experience those classic perks, that classic boots on the ground combat, those guns. Like, I'm sure that's what they're for, but having spent so much time in this fandom, I don't want to spend all this time to unlock another MP5 or another version of the Bison and stuff like that. All of these guns, like, we literally had them last year, which kind of sucks, and it's like, what else is new? For better or worse, I do think this is kind of a, like, Call of Duty greatest hits, like, album, more or less. Like, it's giving you everything that you want as a fan. It's got the iconic weapons. It's got the iconic characters back. It's got a great version of zombies. It's got this campaign that directly ties into the first Black Ops. Mm. It's got all of the killstreaks. It's got all of the it's got all of the killstreaks. It's got all of the perks and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And it doesn't bring much new to the table, but it gives you a classic COD romp, for better or worse, like I said.
What was that? What's the thing that you know?
I finished the campaign. Yes. Obviously, Black Ops 1 is, in my opinion, the best COD ever made. Modern Warfare is very high up, as in COD 4, Modern Warfare 2, like that era. Like, they are high up, but for me personally, Black Ops 1 is, like, way up there. Mm-hmm. So the idea that this is a direct sequel, like, it didn't get me as excited because I know that it's not Treyarch built from the ground up, and the campaign does feel like that. It's set in the 80s, so, you know, height of the Cold War, lots of Vietnam stuff going on. So it kind of fits, and, you know, you've got Mason in it, you've got Woods in it, you've got Hudson in it, and technically, and Weaver, you know, the guy with the eye patch from Black Ops 1, he's in Zombies. He's like the main guy in Zombies now, so it sort of ties all into the campaign universe as well, which is super cool. But the ties to Black Ops 1 are very minor.
Okay.
Which is a shame, really. The campaign itself is fun. Like, I don't critique the campaigns basically at all. I think after I played Black Ops 3 and realized how much of a dumpster fire that campaign is, I was like, you know what?
The future stuff.
I'm not, when I first played Modern Warfare 2, I was like, okay, this is fine. I played Black Ops 1 and the twist happened and I was like, wow, this is COD. This shouldn't be investing me so much. So I love the campaigns because I just like a mindless schlock every year. It's what I miss so much in Black Ops 4. And then when Modern Warfare came along and said, hey, here's like a 4-hour campaign. Again, the campaign in Black Ops Cold War is like 4 hours long. It's really not that long.
I was going to say, do you think they have embraced that now? Because last year's was really short as well. I think they have.
And you know what? I don't mind that. There were moments when I kind of thought, right, is this where we're going to go into the next room with loads of enemies to shoot? And that's it. But it feels like the missions are like nicely paced. It's like, basically it's the Josh Brown game. It's nice and quick. There's no like super like stupidly long sections. There was one point of that I thought felt was going on a bit longer than I'd liked it to have, but what they were doing was really interesting, and that you'll get to.
I was going to say, because there's multiple choices throughout it, there's multiple endings. Did it feel like you had, oh man, if I did this whole other thing?
There was one point, which is right at the end of the game before the last mission, that was very much a case of, you're going to go this way, you're going to go that way. Mm-hmm. There were other times when you got given choices to do this or that, and as far as I'm aware, all that did was change the dialogue at the end. It's like, like the main guy, the guy with the sort of, it looks like he's wearing a wig, he's got a big scar across his face. He's got
the dude that's like there, Robert Redford standing. He looks just like
I'm like, who... who, what? He just looks so strange. He's like a Ken doll.
He looks just like Robert Redford's character from, Josh, what's that movie, mate? That one.
Oh, I don't know.
All the President's Men. He looks just like Robert Redford's character in that movie.
At the end of the game, he's like talking over, or it might be Hudson, I don't know. He's like talking over, he's like, this guy was captured and now he's working, now he's helping the CIA because I captured him rather than killed him. And stuff like that. There's only one point where I thought, okay, this is actually going to change the direction of the game, unless there is some huge, like, different offshoot. It's not like Black Ops 2, it's like you capture Menendez, you kill Menendez, or you let him go. And then there's actually three different endings. But from what I could tell, apart from the end of the game, there was nothing that really led in a different direction.
So I guess that means that they
will probably go back and start the mission again, where you will make that decision as to. Right. Whether you go one way or the other, I might do that at some point if I remember to. I'm not too busy playing zombies, but like it's fun. The sort of the Black Ops nature. I don't know whether I can't tell whether the sort of Black Ops twisty stuff that you expected from the first game, which is why they're probably selling it as a direct sequel, because obviously the Black Ops 1 twist is pretty famous in its own right. Whether that came in because Treyarch waltzed in, or because Raven focused on the campaign. Treyarch did multiplayer zombies.
Right.
So, you know, the flagship part of the game is actually still Raven. Whether that was there or whether that felt a bit shoehorned in. But the actual Black Ops 1 characters, I argue, wouldn't necessarily need to be there at all.
Okay.
It could have worked by itself, but...
I kind of wondered if they've, like, not necessarily written themselves into a corner, but, like, it's not like they... It didn't feel like they were planning for Black Ops 1 story to be, like, this, all of a sudden, this apex peak of, like, oh, my God, I didn't see it coming, this massive twist, oh, my God, it elevates everything. And then Black Ops 2, they sort of went way further into the future, so they don't have to worry about continuing that direct timeline. And then Black Ops 3 is crazy, mind-melding madness. Black Ops 4 didn't even have a storyline, a main campaign. And then this is like, okay, we're going to go back and pick up some pieces and keep going. But maybe it's just too hard to continue that at this point.
I think it's just, they just reference, there's references. And there were a few moments I kind of went, oh, the numbers, oh. Like, otherwise that was kind of it, which is a shame. Like, one of the things that has kind of annoyed me is the fact that, you know, do you remember back when I said this in a chatty forever ago about trailers, when we first got the trailer for Black Ops 2 and it said 2025, then it revealed that Woods was alive after he got supposedly blown up by Kravchenko, I think, in the Black Ops 1 campaign. And they're both alive in Cold War. And it's just kind of like...
That kind of like robs it of the reveal.
I mean, we know that he survived because he's in Black Ops 2, but that event is never talked about in Cold War, even though it happened more recently in comparison to Black Ops 2.
So it's kind of like getting a little bit loose with like where they
It does feel like they just had, they had a couple of spots that maybe they had like... some characters that could easily be replaced with Woods and Mason and Hudson. Right. And I think that's kind of what they did. Mm-hmm. So
it's like, Josh, have you found just like over the years that like, how much do you still go to Call of Duty for the campaign? Like, cause last year's one was notably short, but it did tick the box and then I just moved on to multiplayer. Is it the same for you?
I used to when I kind of like fell out of love with them, but wanted that weekend romp with them, like the campaign is what I would jump in for the most. Like I would get a takeaway and have a few bevs, play through the campaign, smash it down 5 hours, have a nice time. But like my real investment in the Treyarch ones, especially kind of was almost ruined by Black Ops because Black Ops was so good that I was wanting everything after that to live up to that level. And at a point, probably halfway through the campaign for Black Ops 3, I just realized it was never going to happen again. And this was not going to be the same focus for them that it was originally. Like Rich said, you know, this wasn't even properly done by Treyarch. This one, it was Raven Software who was taking the focus on it. But I want it to be good. I want to be invested in this lore again, but it's kind of clear that's not where the priorities lie. And it's almost there to tick a box. And I like that it's there to tick a box. I don't want it to ever go because I still think even at their worst, Call of Duty campaigns are a hell of a lot of fun and they're a great roller coaster ride. They're like, you know, Michael Bay madness. And you can say what you want about Michael Bay, but only Michael Bay can be Michael Bay, you know what I mean? In the same way that only Call of Duty can be Call of Duty. A lot of franchises have tried to ape it and not done it anywhere near as well. So there's still a lot to enjoy with it, but I think I'm just beyond the point of really caring about the minutiae of the story and the minutiae of the timeline and stuff like that, which does kind of suck. I think, you know, Treyarch in general, I just kind of want them to slow down a bit, because since Black Ops 3, like every single project they've worked on has been more or less a disaster. Like, we've had these horror stories from internally about how rushed Black Ops 3 was, about how fractured like the crunch was and stuff, same Black Ops 4. Now onto this, it's like, I want them to be able to have like a breather and come out with something that hasn't been rushed or hasn't been kind of like chopped and changed, like something they can build from the ground up, spend hopefully 3 years on and be like, right, this is our proper next big project. We're not playing catch up anymore. We're not just hobbling something together to get it out. We're not just being this crisis team that Activision calls on when things go tits up. Mm-hmm. We're going to do something properly, like how Infinity Ward essentially got the chance to do that with Modern Warfare, because for a long time they were in crisis too. You know, after Modern Warfare 2, they lost the...
They did three crap games. So,
they did three, you know. Three pretty poor games in a row, and you could sort of see them rebuilding with each one, I thought, but then they finally got a chance, and I'm hoping that after this one with Treyarch, they get to that point where they've rebuilt properly, mm-hmm. and they can deliver something properly special.
Because it is, I mean, it is crazy that we're this far in, over a decade of annual releases of these massive AAA, big budget, really over the top games, and they're still super proficient. It's not like Call of Duty is known for its bugs. It's not like they've fallen victim to annual release schedules in the same way that Ubisoft have. Like, they, Activision, for as much as they chop and change different studios and take this out and rip this part out and whatever, they do manage to get over the finish line. I think this year is one of the first times that we've sort of looked at the final product and gone, okay, we can kind of tell. That there was, but also, can we just tell because we knew the stories going in? I'm super curious what the, you know, the overall mass reception to this has been. I mean, I know that it lost it's for the first time it hasn't charted in the same way in the UK physical sales, as it lost like a 13-year sales streak as of like the other day or whatever. So it's maybe, you know, people are sort of coming onto the fact that it's just not, you know, it's not as much of a Call of Duty as usual anyway. I thought we would end on just some just general sort of thoughts. If there's anything else you want to throw in, but one note I had down was just how much I feel like, and this started last year's, but I feel like because Battlefield is like nowhere to be seen, I've got written down here just the Fireteam mode, which I know was in last year's one too. I think it debuted last year's game, Fireteam.
It was ground war last year, but it was still like a big team game.
My main point is that I feel like Call of Duty, because Battlefield is just not on their radar anymore, they've pulled ahead so much, it feels like they have all of these, especially in Fireteam, they have this sort of vehicle-focused mode, this large-scale territory thing, which I kind of want to broach to both you guys, because I don't come to Call of Duty for that. I want close quarters, nice and twitchy. You know, I want to react to everything. I want to dive back into game gunplay and gameplay as soon as possible. And as soon as I'm running for 5 minutes across a literal battlefield just to get shot up the arse again, I don't want to do it. I want to just get back onto the multiplayer. So what do you guys think of them sort of stretching out and continuing to sort of broach that side of it, try and bring the Battlefield fandom in? I guess, Josh, you're a big Battlefield fan.
I like it, Scott Tilford. I like it a lot because I never thought for like the longest time, I thought like there's no way COD's going to introduce these bigger modes. There's just no way. Like, they can't have these big maps. They can't have these big player counts, you know, in matches. And then like last year's just proved that they totally can, and they can do it really well. Like, I thought the ground war mode was really underrated. Like, I thought they managed to nail the sense of scale without losing any kind of sense of fidelity or sense of momentum or like that classic tight COD gunplay. Cold War tries to do the same with Fireteam and some of the bigger modes, but I think like a lot of the rest of the game, it's just lacking in content. Like, if you play the 24 player modes, for instance, like there's three maps, and those maps are you're going to be playing versions of them in the 6v6 or 12v12 or whatever other modes. And it's like, you've got something here, but it's just half-assed. It's just half-baked again, and that sucks because there's a lot of potential. Like, the fire team idea, the dirty bomb thing is cool. Like, the idea of having a massive player count, but having these small squads of four, like, battling all of the zones and trying to get the uranium and implementing these kind of more looter elements that are in Warzone is intriguing. It just feels like it's held together by a thread a lot of the time. Like, it feels like the engine is just under such stress to get everything working that when it works, it is fun, but also there's a lot of jank there to kind of overcome. But in general, like, as a general kind of point, is do I think this is good for Call of Duty? I do, because personally, after 13 years of, you know, playing CODs every single year, I'm a bit sick of those small team deathmatches. I'm a bit sick of playing Hardpoint or Kill Confirmed. Like, there's a lot of fun to be had in that for me, but they get, those modes get much more repetitive much quicker than they used to for me personally.
I think they're trying to do a bit. For me, it's not that it's a negative that they're doing it. For me, that's not what I come to Call of Duty for. I'm the guy that plays that TDM or whatever. No, sorry, it's free for all on like Shipwreck, where it's like you spawn and the guy's like right there, and you either shoot him or you don't, and then you spawn again and go again. And like, I can't do that all day long, but I love how stupid that is. Like, just give me Twitch Call of Duty all day long. Because I was going to say, like, Rich, what do you think of in regards to, like, Call of Duty's identity? Like, is there more that they can do in that direction where they bring in some of the Battlefield fandom? Like, is that something that might bring you more towards multiplayer, considering you haven't played that much multiplayer recently?
I don't know, because I feel like I've not tried the Fireteam, as I've said. I've literally played, like, a game of S&D and a game of TDM, and that's it so far. Because I've been playing Counter-Strike this year, so... Nice. As much as back in the day, back in the glory days of COD, when you played Search and Destroy, people took it seriously. Now it's just, I'm going to run in loud. Like, I hate it. Trying to play S&D on the boat map.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever that one's called. And I didn't do too badly, but it's just the fact that, like, no one plays it like they used to. Like, when I used to play Modern Warfare 2
with
my boys back at school, like, we took Search and Destroy really seriously, and so did everyone else, which was great. Yeah. I don't know, the bigger team stuff is something I never gelled with in Modern Warfare, especially. I played one game of Ground War and I hated it. I was like, this is not for me. And yet, this year I picked up Battlefield 5, because I've been playing that with some friends, and trying out Battlefield, because I've never been into Battlefield. And the idea of those bigger team things felt so much better, because the actual... the consumer base of the product have got a different mindset to COD. Mm. So it felt better to play. Whereas, like, we're playing like normal COD multiplayer, crossplay is switched off because I can't stand campers, and I don't wish to generalize the console people, but you get it a lot more when you're playing crossplay.
I'm just sitting around the corner.
Sorry,
around the corner.
He said, "Come and slap me." but I think it's cool that they accommodate for that. If people have fallen off Battlefield and gone with Call of Duty, maybe people do like the annual release. Like, I personally see the fact that Battlefield is every 2 years now. It seems like they take their time and they take the game, not necessarily like more seriously, but it feels more refined when you come into it after they've had 2 years in the oven rather than one. Mm-hmm. Even though technically it's not 1 year in the oven, it is, you know, two, three years for COD now, but it just doesn't feel like it because it's so frequent.
But I feel like Battlefield 1 was like an event, and then I think Battlefield 5...
Battlefield 1 was huge.
Yeah, and I feel like Battlefield 5 was a great, incredibly solid Battlefield game, but it sort of just got completely overlooked because of their marketing and everything. I feel like it maybe landed a bit stronger or whatever. But yeah, I just, like you said, the point about mindsets is incredible. Like, I mean, it's got to be poignant because it's like, it's just for me, like, the mindset I'm in when I think of playing Call of Duty is so not what Battlefield is and not what something like Fireteam offers. But it's like that hybrid of the two is maybe one of the most interesting directions that they can try and take the franchise in. So yes, coming along on social media, let us know what you think of Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, or let us know down in the comments, as this is one of the only podcasts that appear on the YouTube channel each week. This has been the Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Taylor, joined by Josh Brown.
Goodbye.
And Rich Hudson.
Thank you for having me.
I will catch you next time.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.